Where is the line? Where is God's line? Where is your line? Where is the line? So see this guy? What's his name? Bruce Banner. He's a scientist. He's a really nice guy. He's kind and considerate. He'll do anything he can to help you, but he has a line. And don't you dare cross that line. What's the line for this guy? Don't make him angry. He becomes that. And when he becomes the Hulk, he wants to kill you. This guy here, David Oricht, he's a really nice guy. He'll bend over backwards to help you. I know it's not actually his photo. He'll lend you his tools. He won't even mind if you nick his beer. He's a really cruisy bloke. But he has a line. And don't you dare cross it. Do you know what his line is? That's right. Don't you touch his Ford. Don't you scratch his Ford. That would be unforgivable. Oh, no, it's good. So what about you? Do you have a line with that little curl right in the middle of your forehead? What's your line? What's that red line in your life? What would it take you to shut the door on someone for good? And don't pretend you don't have a line, because I think we all do. I mean, I know that you can easily forgive that neighbour whose dog craps on your lawn every day. That's easy, right? You can easily forgive that idiot that nicked your parking spot in Woolies after you've been waiting for 5 minutes. It's easy, right? But what's your line beyond which you would shut the door on someone for good? That's it. No coming back. Well, today I want to ask, where is God's line? Because this is a question that people ask me sometimes. And when they ask this, sometimes they talk about a thing called the sin against the Holy Spirit. And people have all sorts of interesting ideas about God's line in all sorts of different religions. And I think out there, a lot of us think that, well, God's pretty crazy with some stuff, like little porn, drinking too much, nicking pens from where it's all good, right? But there's certain things that just God draws a line and he won't forgive. Perhaps some of stealing Fords. Where's God's line? Does God have a line beyond which that is it? God says, nope, I'm drawing the line. You're out for good. Never again. Does God have a line beyond which God writes you off? That's the question. And so we're in Mark chapter 3, and Jesus is actually drawing close to what appears to be a line. People have been calling him names. His family have rejected him. His hometown have rejected him. The religious leaders just called him Beelzebub or Beelzebul. You'd expect Jesus to cross a red line somewhere here, wouldn't you? And he says something that people have often misinterpreted as God's red line. Jesus says this. You can read it out loud with me if you like. Truly, I say to you, just stop. When Jesus says, truly I say to you, when you're reading the Bible and you get to that, you know what happens? That means this is big. This is one of Jesus' big ones. Ready? Truly I say to you, all people's sins will be forgiven and whatever blasphemies they speak, but whoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness and is guilty of an eternal sin. Now, just to be clear, this is all one sentence of Jesus. And I've divided it artificially. It doesn't belong like that. But as you look at this sentence of Jesus, which bit caught your attention the most, honestly? Was it above the line or below the line? Is below the line for pretty much all of us. Because I know, I read this one, oh, blasphemes the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's like Voldemort. Never has forgiveness. Yeah, the unforgivable sin and guilty and eternal sin. We look at this bit, and I reckon that for the majority of readers over history, they've spent the most time on the second half of Jesus' words here and missed the context, missed the first half. I don't know if that's fair for you, but that's what tends to happen. Just a little bit of the hard stuff, and we focus on that. And so then people have gone on and said, well, what could this line that God draws be? Like, what is this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Perhaps it's like the unmentionable curse. You know, there's a list of them, aren't there? Cruciatus and all those ones. What are they? You know them. Perhaps it's if you do something so heinous that it just can't possibly ever be forgiven. What's this line that God draws and God says, that's it, never will I forgive you. Does that sound like how Jesus would talk? Does that actually sound like the Christian gospel, the message of God's love to you? Because I'm leading you down a garden path. This is not how Jesus talks. God, Jesus doesn't talk in the way that I've divided up his words. Jesus talks holistically, as a whole. He doesn't divide things up. He doesn't divide sin up, by the way. Just stop and think about the way Jesus talks about sin. Does Jesus talk about, like, well, some sins are okay, but other ones show that you've got a problem with God? Jesus talks about sin holistically, that is, as a lot. So when Jesus talks about sins, it's like, you know, the smallest amount of this wrong stuff in your life is an indication that you have a problem with God. Is that right? Is that how he talks? For instance, he deals with violence, and he doesn't say, well, it's okay to call them names, but don't hit them. He says if you call someone idiot or if you hate them in your heart, you're the same as a murderer. See, Jesus isn't going, oh, here's a line. He just says, sin is all sin. It's all bad. It's all a sign that you need help. And when he deals with sexuality, he doesn't say, well, these things, yeah, are cool. But he says, if you desire someone who is not yours to have, then in your heart, you're like a sexual sinner. You're like an adulterer. See what Jesus does? He doesn't draw a line. That's human ways. We like it like that. We like a nice, simple line because then we can say, well, I did that and that and that, but not that, so I'm okay. That's not Jesus talk. That's human talk. Jesus is not intending us to read this text as if God draws some sort of line. That is completely and utterly wrong. Let's look at this differently, okay? I want to give you a different picture of these words of Jesus. So we're going to start with some clip art that's supposed to represent God. Here's God. Arms wide open, ready to receive. And this is how Jesus pictures forgiveness, mercy, and unforgiveness. Jesus starts by saying, truly I say to you, all people's sins will be forgiven. Just stop there. Some religious people heard this and blew a gasket. They went mental. Because what word did he just use? All sins. No, surely not that. Surely not that. Even my heart rebels when I hear this. I say, there are some things that are just so heinous, I could never let go. But this is about how God works, not about how you work. And Jesus says, all, any sin. There is no sin whatsoever. Think of the most heinous, horrific person in all history. There's nothing God can't or won't forgive. Because God is God, not you, right? All. This was crazy stuff when Jesus said it. This was the opposite of what everyone believed. And I think in some ways it still is. Because Jesus is actually picturing God here and saying, look, this is the expansive nature of God's love. No one on the planet is beyond forgiveness. No one in all history, no matter how bad you think Genghis Khan was, is beyond forgiveness. Because this is God, not people, right? I'm hoping this is good news to some of you. And then Jesus extends it a bit further. It's not good enough to just talk about actions. He talks about words. And he says, look at this. Whatever blasphemies they speak can be forgiven. Now, this blasphemy word, it's a word that we don't use much in modern English, is it? It means to curse or to swear, to lie or deceive in the name of God. It can mean to curse God. It can mean to speak unmentionable, horrible things, right? And look, Jesus says, whatever blasphemies. No. See, people had this idea that if you just spoke certain forbidden words, and to be sure, that would be wrong, but they had the idea that then God would draw a line and go, no, you're never coming back, ever. I'm never forgiving you. But Jesus says, whatever blasphemies they speak. This blew people's minds when it was said. Does it blow yours? It should, or else you're not hearing it. Jesus is saying God has no red line. God never, ever draws a line and says, I don't love you anymore. Never. This is the God revealed in Jesus Christ. This is a God who loves those who hate him. There is no condition for God's love. He just loves. And there is no limit. You might give up after, I don't know, 77 times forgiving someone, but God doesn't. This is God, not us. Just stop for a moment. Think of the worst thing you've ever done. God forgives it. God forgives it. Live in that grace, right? And now Jesus goes on and says a little more. He clarifies a little because it does appear that there are some people that may be beyond some sort of line, maybe. There's something going on. And he says, all sins will be forgiven, whatever blasphemies, the lot. But whoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness. Would Jesus contradict himself? Let's be clear. Jesus is not contradicting himself. He's not saying, well, all sins can be forgiven, but not that one. That wouldn't be logical, would it? Would that make any sense at all? He's not giving you an exception to the rule. He uses a little word, but, and all this is on our website. You can go and read all this amazing information because I can't say all this in this sermon. But that little word, but, it's one of my favourite ancient Greek words. It's de. And you know what de can mean? It can mean It's like, it can mean and, it can mean so, and it can mean but. It's just a little word that you just pop in when you're talking, you know, like me, So Jesus is not going, but here's the exception. He's actually just continuing on. God's going to forgive everything and anything, but this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, it means no, you never have forgiveness. Let's just zoom in on that, okay? What is this? It's complicated language. Basically, it doesn't mean a certain heinous act. It's nothing so big because God's going to forgive everything and can forgive everything, right? It's no specific terrible words and it's not speaking against the person of the Holy Spirit. It's not saying Holy Spirit be cursed or something, right? It's rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus in Mark 3, was speaking to religious leaders who were rejecting the obvious work of God the Holy Spirit right in front of them. Does that make sense? It's rejecting the Spirit's work. And this is obvious because he doesn't say God won't forgive this. He says God will forgive anything. But he says, if you reject this work of God, you never have forgiveness. Notice the difference. God doesn't draw a line and say, now I hate you. God still loves you. But there is such a thing in human hearts as approaching a place, a terrible, horrible place, a line whereby we could say, no forgiveness. I hope you're really comforted by the first bit. You should be more comforted than ever before by that bit because I reckon that's the most important bit. What I'm saying and what Jesus is saying is God has no red line, no condition, no limit. God is all love who will always welcome you back. But if you won't turn and be humbled, you never have forgiveness. Those who will not turn and receive, they've closed themselves off to the Holy Spirit. And that's the place we don't want you to go. Now, I said to Pastor Doug, I should finish here. And Doug said, no, go on. So you can blame me for this next week. Yeah, right. In this chapter, Mark 3, Jesus doesn't just leave it at that. He actually gives us some hints of what might lead us down that terrible path where despite the love of God, despite the absolute passionate forgiveness of God, we might go down a path of rejecting that, a dark, horrible path where one day we sit there and we don't have it. There is a path to that. And Jesus actually gives us some hints of things that might take us there. So I'm just going to show you three that are obvious in the background of this text. What things would take someone down that path? Well, interestingly, Jesus speaks to the religious people when he says this thing about sinning against the Holy Spirit. It's the religious people that are most likely to do it. It's religious people who are faced with the true message that God is love who are actually the ones that are most at danger here. And this is who he's speaking to, which is possibly some of us in the room. So what would take us down that terrible path? Well, the first thing is calling evil good and good evil. This is one of my favourite characters, Gollum. He has an evil thing in his hand. It's an evil, heinous, terrible ring. And what does he call it? Precious. He has an evil thing which he calls good. And not only does he call that evil thing good, but he calls a whole bunch of good things evil. For instance, he calls the sunlight and the breeze and flowers evil. And Jesus is speaking in Mark 3, when he speaks about the sin against the Spirit, he's speaking to religious people who are doing exactly that. They have seen him heal someone on their Sabbath day. They've seen it with their very own eyes, and they acknowledge that God did, well, not that God, they acknowledge that a healing really happened. They acknowledge that. They then go on to call a healing of someone with a terrible crippling disease evil. They then see Jesus cast out demons, and instead of going, "Wow, I've never seen anything like this before, it's amazing," what do? They say, "It's not the Holy Spirit, he did it with Satan's power." And then Jesus basically laughs and says, "This is ridiculous, as if Satan would cast out Satan." It's just stupid. These religious people have seen good and they call it evil. And they've gone on, they've twisted their whole religion to suit themselves and to serve themselves. So these people are living for themselves. And they call that good. They think that they're going to heaven and no one else is. And they call that good. See, this is actually the road to that terrible path when you're so proud that you start to call what you want good. You start to call... You know in your heart, I know in my heart, deep down, sometimes it gets lost, but we know we have this thing called a conscience and we know some things are just wrong, don't we? And what happens is we know some things are just wrong, but we start to call them right because, you know, it's my choice. Instead of talking about wrong, we talk about choices. That's my choice. Instead of talking about abuse or wrong sexuality, we start to talk about just my healthy choices. Instead of saying, you know, there's some inherent danger in materialism, we say greed is good. Greed is great. Makes the world go round. So this is actually the first thing that could take you down that terrible path to refusing the love of God. It's what the religious leaders did, calling good evil and evil good. The second thing that's in there is acting as if you have no sin. Jesus is speaking to religious leaders who act as if they have no sin. Do you know what word Jesus gave? He called them a name. What name did Jesus call the religious leaders very often? Oh, that was good, but that was not very often. Hypocrites. Hypocrites, he says. He says, "You hypocrites," to the religious leaders. Do you know what the word hypocrite actually meant? Hypocrites in the ancient language. What does hypocrite mean? Not her. It means actor. That's what hypocrite means. It actually originally means actor. When he said that, "You Pharisees, you religious leaders who think you don't sin, you are a bunch of Hollywood actors." That's a good translation. And he says to these people, the minute that you pretend that you act as if you have no sin, that you walk around and you go, "Look at me and my nice Sunday clothes and how great I am," and that's actually the road. That's the dangerous road. Acting as if you have no sin. And this is crazy stuff for someone who believes in Jesus to act as if we have no sin, because God loves you as you are, doesn't he? Totally. With every bit of you that's right and wrong and mixed up, God loves the lot. You don't have to act before God. So why would we act before others? The third bit that could get you down that road is this. No concern, distress, or sorrow over sin. Here's someone, this is the only picture I could think of. Here's someone who has no concern or distress or sorrow over their own bad acts. Now, my faith came alive when I was a teenager. I came to believe fully and truly in Jesus as a teen. It was a conversion experience. And then after that occurred, I went into a process of reading the Bible and thinking about the words of Jesus, and I bumped up on these words, the sin against the Holy Spirit, and I got myself really troubled. And I got troubled because I looked at my life and I went, oh, God loves me, and I believe that, and that's changed me. But I'm not perfect. Surely if I really got that God loved me, I'd be perfect now, wouldn't I? I just do it all the time perfectly. And I looked at my life and I said, Jesus, I really do believe in you, but there are some things that are wrong. And so I went to an older, wiser person, my mum, and I said to her, Mum, I'm really, really worried that I might be sinning against the Holy Spirit. I might have crossed God's line because, you know, I believe in Jesus and I do feel a change. But I've looked at my life and I can see that I still sin. Mum said, well, if you're scared of it, you're definitely not there yet. Just think on that for a bit. It's good. And she said, the fact that you have concern over your sin means you're nowhere near the sin against the Holy Spirit. Because the thing that characterizes this and the road to it is when you start saying sin is not sin, good is not good, evil is good, and you know, it's all just my choices, and I have no sin, and you convince yourself that it's all fine. You know, if you, like me, sometimes look at your heart and life and go, you know, my motives weren't so great then. I didn't do right then. If you sometimes look at yourself and you see your sins and that concerns you, you know what that is? Praise God, that's a sign of the Holy Spirit working in you right now. That's a sign of the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, if you don't believe in Jesus and you don't believe in the love of God, well, then it's possible that your sins won't concern you at all. But what happens is when we come to believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit starts working in our lives, and sin no longer becomes a comfortable thing for us. It becomes a disturbing thing. And that is, hear me clearly, the work of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, if you're battling with sin and you're with Jesus, you're now no longer in a losing battle. You're in a winning battle, no matter how you feel, because you got the winner, the victor on your side, right? So let's get back to the whole thing. Hear the words of Jesus clearly. He says to you, there is no red line beyond which God will not love you. None. No condition for God's love. None. No limit to what God will do to have you back. Truly, he says to you, all sins will be forgiven. Whatever blasphemies, the lot. Just trust that. Take it seriously. Soak it in for a moment. You are not unforgivable. And if you're unsure of that, just look at the cross. Jesus has done everything for you. You are fully loved. Revel in that, soak in that, and live in that. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to sing now. And